I think we can all relate to that feeling on different levels. Maybe for you, maybe when you see something like that, it reminds you of that moment when somebody dropped you off for college. You remember that feeling where maybe you were sitting in a dorm room and you got all your stuff packed up and your whole future's ahead of you and you're excited, but you're just kind of looking around going, I mean, what do I do now? Now what? Or maybe for you, you made a big move in your life. Maybe you packed up your house and decided you were going to move into a different place. And you got everything loaded up into the moving van or maybe into your own van. And you got everything into the house. And then you're just sitting around looking at all of it going, now what? What in the world are we supposed to do now? I know for me and my wife, what we think about when we watch that is that moment for us when we had our first child. That's such an emotional, such a wonderful moment in life. Our hospitals, the medical care that we receive in those days are just incredible. I know, at least I can speak for Northside Hospital. They do an amazing job making that so easy for the dad at the very least. But it's challenging for the mom. But as the dad, it was pretty easy. I mean, I just, you know, had everything I needed there. But honestly, I know that feeling when you're taking your child and the time has come where they're saying, hey, you have to go home now. And so you get all your stuff packed up and you're getting ready to leave. And I'll never forget the moment for me where we were walking out of the hospital and I'm talking to the nurse as she's walking us out. And we're just chit-chatting and she's right there beside me. And then go through the glass doors and our car's right there. And I get to the car and I look around and she's not there anymore. She's still at the doors. And I think, are you not going to help me get this child into the car? And she says, I'm so sorry, sir. You're going to have to do that on your own. And I'm like, I'm going to have to do that on my own? What? I'm like, at Publix, they at least walk you to their car and help you get your groceries in your car. Can't you help me get this life buckled in well, you know? They said, no, this is all you, you know? And then you get home and you have that feeling, that now what emotion as you think about how in the world you're supposed to raise this child. I mean, the future's bright and you're excited and you can see where you're headed. You just don't know what to do in the now. That's such a common emotion to all of us. So whether you're at Browns Bridge or whether you're anywhere here at North Point, I'm so glad that you're checking us out for this series, because this series is all about that feeling, that now what moment in life. I feel like for our churches, we've had that the last several weeks as Andy unpacked this new idea for a church in the last series called Brand New. What an incredible series. Such a culture-shaping series for our church, but we think even for the church at large. And he left us with this question that says, what does love require of me? What a powerful, now what kind of question, right? Because maybe you've got a relationship in your life, maybe you've got a situation in your life, and you know what love requires of you. Unfortunately, you just don't know if you have what it takes to meet the requirement. In fact, it might lead you, I know it's led me to the question of this right here, what if love requires more of me than I have? What if love is requiring me to do something that is a greater requirement than I actually have within me to meet? Maybe in a marriage, maybe there's a way you've always responded, and to try to change that and now do what love requires, but to do something different, maybe you would just say, I don't know that I can change. Or maybe you have someone at work that just flat out annoys you, and it's a coworker and you're supposed to work with them, and you just think, I can't do it. I know what love's requiring me to do. I just don't have it in me to do it. Maybe it's a habit that you've carried through life and it keeps popping up, and every now and then it just comes out of you, and you've tried to suppress it and you tried to work around it and you tried to get over it, but it still just shows up and you think, I know what love's requiring me to do, but it's requiring more of me than I actually have. Or maybe it's this question, what if love requires a better me? I mean, I love the idea and I love the thought. I want to do what love requires me to do, but love is requiring a better me than I actually am. And I can't just make up this better me. It's requiring me to be better than I currently am. And you know what we often do? maybe you don't do this. I know I do this in my own life, but I give myself a pass. I make excuses for myself. I say things like, well, that's just me. I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with it. That's just me. Or you say things like, you know what? I can't help it. That's just the way I was raised. Or if you knew what I've been through, you would understand. That's just me, and that's the way I am. And I'm sorry that's not the way you want me to be. And I wish I could do what love requires me to do. But I can't, because I just don't have it in me to do that. And it's just me. That's just me. Have you ever said that before? So you lie as well, huh? That's amazing. No, of course, all of us have done that, because we all give ourselves a pass. But you know what's interesting is that we don't give other people a pass. No, see, if someone said that to you, if they said, well, that's just not me, then you say, no, you can't just say that. You can't just use that as an excuse. Like, you need to get better. You need to grow. You need to change. You need to mature. I mean, just imagine if you had a third grader. Your precious little third grader, such a great kid, never been in trouble, always does the right thing, comes home from school one day and says, Mommy, Johnny bit me on the playground. What would you do? You'd set up a conference with the teacher, get the other parent in the room with precious little Johnny, and you'd say, let's talk about this. You'd say, Johnny bit my son. What if that parent said, oh, did he really? I'm so sorry. Johnny's a biter. That's what he does. He just bites. We've tried to change him. We've tried to help him, but he can't change. It's just who he is. That's just what he does. You would say, hey, that might fly in your own home, but that's not going to fly at school, right? Or maybe you've got somebody at work who just can't be anywhere on time. Have you ever worked with someone like that? Every meeting they're late. Every day they're late. And you confront them finally about it. And you say, hey, I don't want to come at you the wrong way, you know, but it kind of feels like you're late to everything. And they just respond to you and say, you know what? I've been late my whole life. That's just me. You're going to have to deal with it. My wife always told me about it. My parents always told me about it. I was born late. I mean, I can't do anything about it. I've just always been late. You're just going to have to deal with it, because that's just me. You would say, no, you need to get better. See, there's a better version of you out there, and you need to go find it. See, all of us have those things where, for whatever reason with ourselves, we give ourselves a pass. With other people, we just don't do it. What do you do? What do you do when love requires a better version of you than you currently are? See, in all of life, in other areas of life, I could give you prescriptions. You could give me prescriptions on how to grow, right? If someone said to you, well, hey, physically, I need to get in better shape. What do I need to do? You'd give people a couple things to do. You'd say, well, you ought to go start working out. You ought to go watch a couple exercise videos and take some tips. You could get a trainer. If you were to say, hey, well, professionally, what can I do to get better professionally? Say, well, you go read a Jim Collins book, go get a professional coach and get some new habits, and you can do it. Just be better at work. See, there's steps you can take to get better, but how do you become a better person? How do you grow your character? How do you change the things in your life that have always tripped you up that you excuse yourself for? It really begs the question, is it even possible to mature? Is it possible to grow? Is it even possible to change? Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but life sometimes feels like an escalator going down, right? I mean, over time, things just decay. I'm not talking about everything going to hell. That's what AC/DC said in Highway to Hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying general entropy, right? Things over time just get worse. If you don't pay attention to your health, what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. If you don't pay attention to your car, over time, it will break down. If you don't pay attention to your golf game, over time, it will get worse. And I've tried to convince my wife of that, and she does not listen. Maybe it's your tennis game, and it's your tennis stroke. Maybe you used to play the tuba, and you let it alone for a long time, and you say, you know what, I once was a great tuba player, but if I had to pick it up now, I just don't know that I could do what I once did, because life is a downward going escalator, right? It just, things over time just decay. They just get worse. And so to get better as a person, To grow as a person, to mature as a person, to grow our character, that invisible part of you, it feels like running up an escalator that's going down. Have you ever felt that? Where you said, you know what, I'm going to try to be more disciplined. I'm going to try to have more self-control. I'm going to try to get less angry. I'm going to try to be more gentle. And over time, maybe you do a pretty good job of it because you're working on it, you're concentrating on it, and you can become a better version of you. But then it just gets exhausting, and you slip up again. It just feels like you got knocked down again, and the elevator just takes you right back down. It's a disheartening feeling. But we're not the only ones that have ever felt that way, and that's good news. See, Jesus, when he was on earth, he had a conversation with his followers. His followers knew exactly how to have a relationship with him. It's the same way you relate to the people around you. But he knew that the time was coming where he wasn't going to be there face to face to help. And he knew he wanted to help. And so he gives them instructions. He helps pack their bags for the time when he wasn't going to be there face to face with them. When they were going to look around and go, oh my goodness, Jesus is now in heaven. Now we're supposed to have a relationship with an invisible God. Now what? And in this conversation, Jesus is going to teach us that in a relationship with him, change, growth, maturity, it's not just possible, it's inevitable. Jesus gives us the secret to escaping the escalator. And I think the conversation's worth paying attention to. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this one conversation that Jesus had. For some of you, you're going to feel like it's very familiar. For others of you, maybe you're going to hear it for the first time. It's found in John 15. It's one of the most important, one of the most familiar images that Jesus gives us on how we can relate to him. John 15, 1, this is how it starts. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You might not believe that. That might be a stretch for you to believe. If you don't consider yourself a Christian, I'm so glad that you're checking us out today. Because I think that this is going to give you some compelling reasons as to why I think it's worth you considering whether or not Jesus' claim is legitimate, that he is the true vine. And then he says, and my Father, God, he's the gardener. He's the master gardener. He's the caretaker of the garden. He overlooks the whole process. On week 3, we're going to come back and look at what God's role is in our life. Skip down to verse 5, and he continues in defining the roles. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. It's great. It's good to know. All right, we do have a role to play. We've got a part to play in this. Jesus is walking along, maybe, this Middle Eastern area where it's normal for them to walk beside a vineyard. Everybody knew how vineyards worked. And so Jesus says, let me explain it to you this way. Walks past this vineyard and says, hey, I am like this vine that is connected to the ground. Whenever it needs life, it draws life and nutrients from the ground. And then you are this branch that's growing off of the vine. He says, that's your role to play. He says, when I'm gone, I want you to remember that you're the branch. Don't get confused and start thinking that you're the vine, because branches themselves can't produce life. No, branches can only produce life when what? When they're connected to the vine. He says, and I'm the true vine. So you're going to try to connect with a lot of different vines, but don't forget this. You're the branch, and I am the true vine. And he says, this is the relationship that a vine and a branch have with each other. He says, if you remain in me and I in you. If you remain, this is a very common word in the New Testament, but it's a very powerful word. If you remain, what does that mean? If you abide is another way to say it. If you connect with, if you live together with, if you spend the night with is how it's translated in other parts of the New Testament. If you stay close to is maybe the way we would say it. If you stay close to me and I stay close to you, then we can have the kind of relationship that I intend to have with you. See, this relationship that God wants to have with you and with me, it's very different than any other relationship in your life. See, some of you think of God as a boss. God's my boss. I just do what he says. That's fair, but that's not what Jesus insinuated. No, see, a boss has influence on you when you allow the boss to have influence. But Jesus knows there's going to come a day where you're going to be outside of the boss's authority, and he still wants to have a relationship with you. See, a boss can only have so much influence on you. Parent-child, it's a great relationship. Jesus tells us to call him Father, and tells us to call God Father all throughout the New Testament. But this relationship that Jesus is insinuating that we can have is even closer than a parent and a child. A child is going to leave the home at some point and be outside of the parent's supervision. Jesus is saying, I still want to have influence in your life, even when you're away from me. Says every other relationship in your life has influence on you. But I want to be different because I want to be in you. It's an incredibly important distinction. You know why? Because God in you should be way more powerful than any influence on you. God in you is way different, is way more powerful than any influence on you. Jesus says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, that's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. And if you do that, he says, it's conditional. If you do that, you will bear much fruit. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you remain in me and me in you, then you will bear much fruit. What is this fruit he's talking about? You're going to just have strawberries and grapes pop out of your life? No. He's talking about something more important than just that. Fruit throughout the Bible is described as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's that invisible part of you that's really who you are. It's your character. It's your maturity. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, there's going to be supernatural character growth in your life. There's going to be growth in your life in such a way that people are going to look at your life and go, that's the fingerprint of God. That has God written all over it. Because there's this old you that didn't used to remain in him. And now there's this new you that has fruit where there once was nothing growing there. Have you ever seen someone like this that it's just a radically different person? You would say, wait a second. You used to have the worst temper, and now I would almost describe you as gentle. How did that happen? Maybe you have somebody who used to be filled with anxiety. They couldn't even go to sleep at night. And now they would describe that their life has peace in it. Maybe the most impatient person, always fidgety, always in a rush, never could wait on anything, squeezing life out of everyone around them. Now you would say this person is almost patient. It's like God had been there. Supernatural character growth. And he doesn't just say a little bit of fruit. I love this. He says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Buku fruit will be born, will be matured if you connect with me. If you stay close to me. And then he gives us this phrase that kind of trips me up, to be honest with you. It's hard to understand, I think. He says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing? Nothing, Jesus? Jesus says, yeah. Apart from me, not going to happen. Some of you would say, well, I'm a better person than I used to be, and I don't consider myself a Christian. I'm a better version of me. See, unfortunately, in God's economy, you being a better you is not the goal. The goal is for you to be like Jesus. And Jesus laid down his life for others. See, you can become a better you just by imitating Jesus. But Jesus wants more from you. He wants more for you than for you to just be a better version of you. Jesus says, no, I can do something in you that's unmistakably me if you would remain in me. See, if I gave you about a month, maybe a year, and I said, hey, I'm going to give you all these videos of LeBron James, all right? It's like a full year worth of how-to videos. I want you to go watch them, all right? Your work is already agreed. They're going to give you the whole year off. I've got you a gym where you can have all the stuff you need to become like LeBron, all right? You just imitate LeBron. If you watch him shoot, I want you to shoot the way he shoots, dribble the way he dribbles, defend the way he defends. You and LeBron, I want y'all to be thick as thieves. I want you to be like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, I want y'all to be so tight, and you go imitate LeBron. Come back and check on you in about a year. How you doing? Not very well. Why? I gave you all the time. You seem committed. Because I can't do that. It's not in me. Jesus is saying, now you're getting it. So you being like me, that's not in you either. Hey, you being the person that God wants you to be, it's not really in you. You're just on an escalator going down, and it's just going to decay. And I'm the same way. But Jesus says, but good news. If you stay close to me, if you remain in me, I can bear fruit in any one of you. He says, essentially, Jesus says, you focus on remaining and I'll produce the fruit. You just focus on remaining and staying close with me and I will produce the fruit in your life, to the point where people will look at your life and go, whoa, 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 something's different. It seems like God has been there. And then he gives us the consequence in the next verse. He says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and they're thrown into the fire and burned. Essentially what he's saying is, disconnected from the vine, a branch has no use or ability to function as it was intended. A branch disconnected from the vine, it has no function. It has no use. If you were to walk through a field and you're responsible to clean it all up, you would see a branch on the ground. And it doesn't matter if it just fell off. It doesn't matter if it had been there for a year. You would say, well, it goes in the brush pile. We're just going to burn it up. Because it doesn't have any function or use on its own. A branch can't bear fruit on its own. It's got to be connected to the vine. And Jesus is saying, and you're the same way. Apart from me, you can't do anything on your own, at least what I'm asking you to do. A better you? Maybe. Be like me? Can't do it. It's not in you. But if you'll connect to me, I'll remain in you. And I'll be able to do things through you that you never thought were possible. He continues in verse 7. He says it in another way. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. He says more specifically, not just me physically, but even my words remaining in you. You ever had somebody's words that stuck with you? Feel like they were just ringing in your head all the time? Maybe it was something negative. Maybe somebody told you when you were a kid, oh, well, you're just never going to amount to anything, or you're worthless, or whatever that is that has just kind of found its way in your thoughts at all time. Maybe the positive is true as well. Maybe someone has spoken positive words in your life. I know my wife always talks about how her dad used to tell her when she was a little girl that you're going to make someone a great catch. She said she carries that her whole life. The words of her dad remaining in her. Jesus says, if you remain in me, I want my words to remain in you. And if that happens, check this out. This is quite a promise. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Is that saying what I think I'm saying? Ask anything, and it'll be done for you? Yeah. Car, boat, new job, new house, anything. Now, what's the context here? Fruit, character, supernatural maturity, growth. That thing that trips you up, Jesus says, ask me to change it. Don't just focus on it, work harder, try harder. No, remain in me. Remain in me and ask me to change it. And over time, I can begin to chip away at what has been withered. And over time, new growth and new maturity is going to bloom and blossom. Just ask me. You have anxiety? You want peace? Remain in me. You feel wimpy? You want to be courageous? Just remain in me. Feel prone to anger and tantrums, frustration? You don't know how to handle it? Remain in me. And just ask me. You have no self-control? Can't be disciplined about anything? Just remain in me. And ask me for it. And over time, I can change you. See, let me just ask you. In light of this, what can't change in your life? We all have these such small ambitions for change. And I think if Jesus could have a conversation with us, he would say, in light of that claim, what behavior, what response, what attitude is so bad that the very life of God himself cannot change in you? What could be so bad, so far gone in your life that you'd have to make an excuse and just go, well, that's just me? You know what? It is just you. But good news, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. And I can grow things in you that you never thought were possible. You feel weak? Of course you feel weak. You are weak. I am weak. But he says good news. It's not about what you can do. In fact, maybe the greatest thing you could say today is, you know what? I can't. I think God goes, now we're getting somewhere. You know what? You can't. But I can through you. You just remain in me and I'll remain in you. You stay close to me. And I will infuse my life in you and through you to produce things in you, to produce fruit in you that you never thought was possible. What could be so bad that the very life of God himself cannot change? You know what? If this means that we need to give up our own small ambitions for change, it also means that we should never count anyone else out either. Because if God can change anything in you and me, if he can produce fruit in any part of our life, he can do it in other people as well. I want to just leave you with one word picture for this week. Just one word picture on what this looks like for you and I to remain. Here's the way I'm going to say it. I want all of us this week to figure out how to draw on God's power. That's what remaining is. When the branch feels weak, the branch doesn't try harder. No, the branch just says, oh boy, I got to get closer to the vine. The only way I'm going to get life is if I draw life out of the vine. So you draw on God's power through constant consideration of and intentional investment in a relationship with him. Constant consideration of an intentional investment in. Let me explain what I mean. Maybe the closest word picture that we have to the kind of relationship God wants to have with us is the relationship between a husband and a wife. None of us experience a perfect marriage, but that's the picture, the only picture, the closest picture God gives us. When I was first married to my wife, Jenny, we had just moved here to Atlanta, and she was, during the day, finishing grad school, and I was working all day. And so I would come home from work, and she'd be at home, and this little apartment that we lived in, and she'd say, did you think about me at all today? She's just being flirtatious, I thought, I hoped. Saying, did you think about me at all today? You know what I'd tell her? I'd say, oh, baby, you got to be tired today, because you've been running through my mind all day long. I got that from Will Smith in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it didn't work for me like I thought it would. It sounded way cooler and smoother when Will Smith said it. It's probably the haircut, but you know, I knew. I mean, I knew. This is a trick question. You see, I'd been at work and was trying to be fully dedicated, fully devoted at work and working all day and meeting with people and bouncing in and out of meetings and writing stuff and thinking and concentrating and sitting at my desk and doing what I thought I needed to do to be a good employee. So to answer your question, did I intentionally think about you today? You know what? There wasn't a moment today that I did not consider you. That was my answer to her. It was not satisfying, but it was true. Because that's what you do in a marriage, right? You constantly consider the other person. How is this going to affect the other person? Somebody would say, hey, Clay, you want to go to a Braves game tonight? I don't need to ask for permission. I just need to think, how is this going to affect her? And how is this going to affect us? I couldn't not think about that today. Somebody would say, hey, could I have a ride home from work from you? I would think immediately, how would this affect her? How would this affect us? I would constantly consider her. But you see, constant consideration of is not very romantic, and it's probably not what women dream about. No, they want the intentional investment in. They want the dates, right? But I found that the dates were better if the consideration throughout the week was stronger. The intentional dates went better when there was a week's worth of dependence and thinking about and considering the other person. I also found that you couldn't really have one without the other. If you never consider the other person, the date is kind of useless. But if you don't have the date, there's no spark, there's no romance. So you gotta have both. You gotta have a constant consideration of and an intentional investment in. And that is what it looks like to remain. You constantly consider, how does this affect my relationship with God? Is this going to make it better? Is this the way he would have me love other people? Is this the way he would have me live? I can't make a decision without thinking about you. And then there's the intentional investment in. It's why people pray first thing in the morning. It's why people turn their radios off in the car and say, I'm going to spend this time intentionally talking with you. It's why people open up the Bible and say, I want to study your words because I want your words to be in me. It's a constant consideration of and an intentional investment in. That is what it looks like to remain. And if you'll remain, you can draw on his power. So let me ask you the same question we started with. What if love requires more of me than I have? In light of this claim from Jesus, can love require more of you than you have? Not if he's in you. If he's in you, and you're in him, and you're connected to him, there's nothing love can require you to do that you don't have inside of you. You can't, but he can through you. So this week, maybe for the first time ever, I want you to practice remaining in him. I want you to practice considering depending on him. I want you to practice intentionally investing in a relationship with him. And as you do, I hope we can all tell stories of the fruit that God bears in our life that is unmistakably him. I want to try something different as we leave today. I want to pray directly for you. I don't know if anybody's ever prayed specifically for you, but I want to do that today. And so I would ask that all the men in the room to stand up. If you're in the West and you're a guy, would you go ahead and stand up over here in the East? If you're watching online, you can stand up if you'd like. If you're at Browns Bridge, you could stand up as well. All the men. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. We're not going to do any calisthenics or anything like that. I'm not going to embarrass you. But men, here's what I know. I'm just like you. I'm busy. In my mind, all the things that I've got to do, they just race around my mind. And this is not urgent. It's important, but it is not urgent. But guys, everything you do this week, this is what Jesus said. Everything you do this week is worthless if you're not connected to him. You cannot be the man that your wife needs you to be. You can't be the dad that your kids need you to be. You can't be the man that God wants you to be if you're not remaining in him. So I just want to end today by praying for the guys, and then we're going to do the same for the women in just a second. So guys, would you allow me to pray for you as we end today? God, I thank you that you allow us to call you Father. God, I thank you that you want to have a different kind of relationship with us. God, for every man that's listening to this, who's thinking, I'm too busy, I got too much to do, I've got to accomplish. God, would you help them see, help them feel, help them know that anything we accomplish is worthless if we're not connected to you. So God, this week, would you give them a sense of urgency that they need to remain in you, whatever that looks like for them, that they would consider you in everything, that they would invest in you intentionally. And as they do, I pray, God, that you would begin to show us the kind of fruit you want to bear in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, you can sit down. Hey, women, would you mind standing up before we get out of here? Ladies, I don't have a clue what it's like to be a woman, all right? So let me just say that up front. One of you should probably come up here to lead this at this point, but we don't have enough time for that. So women, here's what I do know. I do know that you've got a lot on your plate. Maybe it's something that you're leading in business. Maybe you lead a team at work. Maybe you lead an entire business at work. You've got stuff at home. Maybe God's put it on your plate to be a mom and you've got kids at home to take care of. Maybe you've got to keep a house going. I just know that whatever it is that you're doing, the temptation for you to compare yourself to others and to find your identity from other places, the temptation for you to gauge your success based on how well you're doing at work or how well you're doing at home or the number of likes you have or the number of followers you have is a temptation that you feel. And so this week, I would love it. God would love it. You, in the end, would love it if you would prioritize remaining in him so that you can be the woman God wants you to be. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for every woman right now that's listening to this, that's standing up, that feels all the pressure of who she needs to be, what she needs to do, her temptation to compare, to look around. God, I pray that this week she would remain in you and you in her. She would stay close to you so that you could do in her what only you can do. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.